Okay, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And last Sunday we just thought a little bit about the fact that as believers in Christ, we've been given a precious privilege, and that is prayer. And yet, sometimes we don't pray as much and as well as we should. We're lax in it. We pray when a crisis rises up, but we want to learn to be focused and to be consistent in prayer. When things are going well as when things are going badly. And so one of the things that we talked about last time was the prayer ministry that our church had several years back. And, you know, we had a great thing going. And at the time, as a much younger pastor, I don't think I appreciated what we had. I don't think I understood what we had. But, it was a blessing. And we want to relaunch a prayer ministry in our church. We want to begin to pray and to seek the Lord together, because there are battles that are being fought already. There are battles that are going on. Some of you have been in a battle this week. And we need to be undergirded in prayer. We need to be strengthened as we walk through these difficult challenges. We need to be encouraged by and built up in prayer. Now, I remember the story, and I can't remember the name of the city, but it's in Germany. And there was a city there, or a small town really, and a church in this town that began a prayer movement. And they established a prayer ministry, something like what we did years ago. They had people praying around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They had someone praying. And they started a prayer ministry that prayer ministry lasted over 100 years of around-the-clock prayer. Wasn't a huge church, you know, wasn't in a time when they had you know, technology and computers and all the stuff we have. Maybe that was part of the reason why they could do what they did, but they were faithful. Now, out of that 100 years of prayer, God called out missionaries. They were known as the Moravian missionaries. And they were influential in many places around the world. But one of the most notable things that happened in their ministry was they had a part in the ministry or the conversion of the men who founded the Methodist Church, the Wesley brothers. And, you know, I don't know, you know, if y'all have memory of this, but at one time the Methodists were the evangelists of all the denominations and all the churches. They had a powerful impact through John and Charles Wesley. And that was in part coming out of that prayer movement. Now, I'm not suggesting or proposing that we plan a 100-year, prayer meeting. Some of you may say, I've been in some that seem like it lasted that long. But I am suggesting that we need prayer. We need consistent, dedicated, focused prayer. And we need it for our church family. We need it for every ministry that we have going on in our church. We need it for our families. We need it for our marriages. We need it for our young people, for our children. We need prayer. We need to be praying people. We need to be people that are coming together to pray and lift up our nation praying for God to move and work in this country of ours, because we are in a difficult time and we need God's presence. So in this sixth chapter of Ephesians, Paul, from verse 10 on, has given us the instruction of how we're to armor up. We're to wear the armor of God. We're not going to go through the armor of God this morning, but we're going to look at the conclusion of that passage and what it is that enables us to put the armor on. And I want to suggest to you this morning that we each one are vulnerable without the armor of God. You are absolutely vulnerable. But when you are clothed with the power and the strength and the protection of God, you become a mighty force for God in this world. You become powerful and you become able to do things that in and of ourselves we could never do. And may I suggest to you that that's exactly what we need today. We need men and women of God. We need young people of God. We need children of God who will walk with God and love God with all their heart. And they will do what the Bible says and put that armor on. But notice in verse 18, and this is the atmosphere, okay, in which we're going to put on the armor. All right? This is the process. And you can't have the armor without this. So let's go right to verse 18. If you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's holy word? Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Well, let's pray. Father, we give you all praise this morning. You are glorious. You are high and lifted up. Lord, we worship you today and we praise your name. Father, you are good. Lord, you are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. Father, today I pray that you would pour out your power and your presence, your purity, your holiness, your righteousness. God, I pray you'd pour that out upon your people. Lord, I pray that we would experience you in a fresh, new way today, and that you'd have freedom this morning to touch hearts. And Lord, if there is anyone here who doesn't have a genuine heart relationship with you, I pray that you will draw them to yourself, and I pray that you will save them. I pray you will set them free. And Father, there's a Christian brother or sister here today who needs your touch as well, whose life is not what it could be for you. And Lord, they need you to come in, to rearrange, to change where they're at, what they are. And so God, I just pray you'll move and work today. Speak to our hearts, we ask. And Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your word. We pray together in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Well, the call to pray is one that is vitally important for us. And Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We're to pray, and we're to pray always. We're to pray at all times. There shouldn't be any time that we're not praying. I mean, it ought to be the first thing we turn to. I mean, we've all got some things that we do when we're in trouble, when we have a question, when we have a need, the first thing we ought to be doing is we ought to be praying about it. I mean, before we call the doctor, before we call the lawyer, before we Google it, before we do anything else, we ought to be praying. And it doesn't matter what it is. You say, well, yeah, but I'm just working on my tractor. I'm just trying to figure out. Look, pray about it. I promise you, God has wisdom. He knows how tractors are put together. And He can help you to know how they're put together or taken apart or where to find that bolt you lost or whatever it is. Look, prayer is extremely practical. And it is something that we need to engage in. But you will not engage in it unless you purpose to do so, unless you intend to do so. And so you've got to make up your mind Lord, I want to be a prayer. I want to be a person of prayer. I want to be using this wonderful, valuable tool that You've given to me. You've entrusted me with this. You've allowed me this. And I want to take advantage of everything that You have for me. My family needs it. My workplace needs it. My community needs it. My pastor needs it. We're going to get a few amens on that one. Okay. So, you know, we want to take in the truth here that we're to be praying always. I mean, we need it in our relationships. Sometimes we have sticky relationships. You know about that. Don't look at me like that. You got problems in your family. You got brothers-in-laws and you got, you know, all this stuff just like I do. And we need prayer. We don't just need to gripe and complain and whine and murmur about it. We need to pray about it. So I want to challenge you and encourage you and prod you a little bit and push you a little bit that we need to be people of prayer. We read it a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. You say, well, you know, and I understand. People can say, well, Pastor, I'm kind of busy, you know. I'm talking to people and I'm dealing with customers or I'm dealing with whoever, my family or, you know, whatever. I don't have time just to pray without ceasing. Well, you know, there's a way of praying that there's a lot of ways of praying. Okay? But one of the ways of praying is just to keep a constant conversation going with the Lord. I mean, just open it up. Because, and we talked a little bit about that this morning in Sunday school, but prayer is two-way. You know, if I come in here and I say, oh, hi, Sheila. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you. And by the way, I need you to help me with this. And I need I've got a big problem with this. And if I rattle on for about 15 minutes here with her, everything I need, everything I want, what do you think she's going to say? Well, number one, she's going to kick me in the shin long before I get through 15 minutes of that mess. And she's going to say, hush. Stop. But sometimes that's what we can do with God. We rush into His presence. Oh, God, I'm so glad You're here. I need You. Lord, here's my list. And we give Him our shopping list of all our needs. And look, it's not wrong to pray and give Him all your needs. That's okay. But understand that prayer is a conversation between you and God. Just as when we have a conversation here between people, we don't like it if the other person never lets us talk. I mean, it's frustrating. I've been in those situations. You can't get a word in edgewise. Be careful now, folks. There's a saying, discretion is the better part of valor. And sometimes, just be careful what you're amening. Well, we're to pray at all times. We're to pray all the time. And it becomes a natural thing. It might not seem that way at first, but as you practice it, and you may have to remind yourself. You may have to post-it note and say, pray. Or pray about this. Pray about, you know, this need. You may have to help yourself to develop the habit. You know, it takes time. I've heard it takes 21 days to establish a habit. If you're consistent for 21 days, you begin to have a habit that now you don't have to think about. You don't have to stop and go through the mechanics of it. You just do it because it's ingrained in you and it's automatic for you. Well, we need to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so all prayer, well, that's general prayer. That's everything. That's adoration. That's praising God. That's worshiping God. That's confession. That's telling God, Lord, I messed up. I did something wrong. I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. Lord, help me. You know, it's not just feeling sorry about your sin or getting caught in your sin. but it's actually repenting of your sin and turning from it and saying, God, help me not to do that. Help me to change. Help me to be like Jesus. But it's all of it. It's adoration. It's confession. It's thanksgiving. You know, that's a very notable part of our praying is giving thanks. You ever been around somebody that you did something nice for them? Did something good? And they just take it, walk away. Now, I mean, I know we shouldn't do things for that. We shouldn't do things for people just so that we get thanked and we get recognized in some way. But it sure is nice. You know, it really is nice when people say, oh, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you gave me. You know, that's what we ought to do as individuals. How much more should we do that with the Lord? How many times must it grieve His heart that we come and we come and we come and we come and we never stop to say thank you? We have to cultivate a heart of gratefulness and of thankfulness because it is so important. Well, then we come to that last one, is supplication. Now, if you notice that, I use the ACTS acronym. You familiar with ACTS? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Got it, Brother Tim. Now, what was that word, preacher? What were the words that went with that? It was Ephesians? No, what? Take some notes if you need to. But, you know, you've got to be intentional. If you don't set out on this journey and you don't intend to pack a bag to take along with you and you don't intend to get your route mapped out, and if you don't intend, you're going to have a mess when you step out your door. You're going to be in a bad way. Well, we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And one of the ways that we're to pray, and I like this, I thought this was good because we need to be intentional. And one of the things I'm going to be asking you to do is to pick out an hour out of your week and set it aside for prayer. I mean, especially for prayer. Okay? And during that time, you'll have a ton of stuff to pray about. It won't be hard to fill an hour, honestly. Not at all. But I want to encourage you that we need to be praying regularly, consistently, all through the day. But then there are special moments that rise. You know, there's special moments that come up. You know, I'm reminded of the old story. The preachers were all standing around and they were talking about the proper posture of prayer. And the Methodist preacher said, well, I believe that you should fold your hands in respect and honor of God. And another one said, you know, well, I think you need to get down on your knees and show some real humility. And they were discussing and kind of debating the proper posture for praying. And this old fellow was cleaning up over there near him, and he was listening to their conversation. He said, fellas, I'll tell you, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed was when I was hanging by my heels down in the widow's well over here the other day. The most fervent, heartfelt prayers that we're ever going to pray is when we're in trouble. And some of us have been there. And you don't know what's about to happen, but you're praying, oh Lord, have mercy. Jesus, be with me now. Don't just take the wheel, take everything, Lord. And deliver me from this mess I've got myself into. Well, there's times in the Bible when that was a very important thing that folks did, and these are kind of occasional prayers. They're not the regular, they're not the normal, but they're important. And I want to give you a couple of examples because I think it helps us to think about what God does. And the first one is from the book of Nehemiah. And if you remember, Nehemiah was there. He was serving in the king's court, and he was the cupbearer for the king. But he was not in his home country. He was there in a foreign country, and God had put on his heart a burden to go back to his home of Jerusalem and rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. And so here's what happens. It's in chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 2. Let me make sure. Yeah. In verse 1. It says, "It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king." Now, I had not been aforetime sad in his presence. "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? There's nothing else. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king," all right, you get this? He's in the middle of a conversation with the king. The king says, "What do you want me to do?" And in the very middle of that, he didn't stop and say, "Well, excuse me, king, just for a few moments while I, you know, fold my hands and get on my knees and pray." He just breathed a prayer. He just said, "Oh God, be with me now. Lord, give me what I need right now." And then he makes his request. "If it please the king, and if thy servant had found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." Well, it was one of those moment-by-moment prayers. It was one of those things that just rose up. And you're going to have those moments. And how are you going to respond in those moments? Well, the greatest thing we can do is to breathe out a prayer. Maybe it's in a job interview. Maybe it's in a marriage proposal. Maybe it's in, could be a thousand things. Could be a lot of different ways that things come to us and come at us. Now, I guess here's my question, though. How are we going to be able to do that in the midst of... Because here's Nehemiah. He's bringing the wine to the king. That's his job. And the king says, "Man, you look down today. What's up?" And Nehemiah could have said, "Oh, well, you know, I'm just kind of tired. You know, I'm okay. Just kind of down today." You know, he could have replied in a lot of ways, and sometimes we do that. People ask us a question. I don't ask you, how many times have you breathed a prayer? You know, there's witnessing encounters. There's moments when you have something, someone says something to you about the Lord. Somebody brings the Lord up. I mean, somebody lobs you a softball. I mean, slow pitch, it's right up there. All you got to do is knock it out of there. And how many times good to see you, man. I'll talk to you later. And we're out of there. And instead, we need to breathe a prayer in that moment. How do you do it, though? How do you learn to do that consistently? Well, I want to suggest to you that you learn to do it in those moments by doing it regularly. By not waiting for those moments, but you're praying at all times about everything. I mean, it's not the exception, it's the rule. And so, what we see here in Ephesians 6:18, he says, praying always, always with all prayer, and then watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Seems like he's kind of trying to emphasize something in that verse. All, maybe? He's trying to get us to the place where This is our first recourse. This is the natural response of our heart to crisis. Well, I can't believe what she said about you. What'd she say? I'm going to... You know, I mean, what's the first cry of our heart? Well, it ought to be, Lord, shut her mouth. Deal with her. Take care of that. I don't want to deal with that mess. But it comes when we begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see in a moment. Let me give you another instance of an occasional prayer, a moment-by-moment prayer that arose. And this one is from 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 31. And it's the story of Jehoshaphat. You remember Jehoshaphat? Uh-huh. Okay, we got a few that do. Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah. He was a good king. But he made a mistake. He allied himself with Ahab. Ahab was the king of the northern tribes of Israel at this time. He was not a good king. He was a bad king. And Jehoshaphat entered into an agreement that they would go to war together. They would fight together against the enemy. Well, the enemy, they had instructed their soldiers, don't fight against anyone except Ahab. Now, maybe Ahab had an inkling of this because Ahab entered the battle disguised. Not in all his kingly robes and garments and armor and all that. But Jehoshaphat, he just came out there like normal, you know, and he was going to fight the battle. And they saw Jehoshaphat and they said, well, that must be Ahab. Go kill him. And they started attacking him. Well, in 2 Chronicles 18:31, it says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. You see, in that moment of battle, in the heat of battle, Jehoshaphat knew, I don't have any way to defeat all these troops that are coming against me. And he cried to the Lord, and God heard his cry. God helped him. God delivered him. Let me give you one more. This is kind of an interesting prayer, I thought, but it was a very effective one. This is the story of David, and it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and in verse 31. But this is the occasion when Absalom had rebelled against David. You remember Absalom? I mean, we're talking the long hair, you know, only cut his hair once a year, and, you know, he had all this beautiful hair, and, you know, he was kind of the, I don't know, Fabio or whoever of his day, you know, he was just kind of, you know, the flowing tresses, and, you know, and, but he rebelled against his father, King David, his own father. And so people were choosing sides. And one of the people that chose sides was Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a counselor for King David, and he was known for his wisdom. I mean, they just considered his advice and his counsel to be gold. And so when Ahithophel went over to Absalom, it was bad news. Now, 2 Chronicles 18:31 says this, it came to pass... No, I'm sorry, I skipped back. 2 Samuel 15:31 says, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Here's the situation. David is fleeing for his life. And he is running away, trying to get away. And meanwhile, Absalom is gathering support and is gathering his troops. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 14, Absalom gathered his counselors. And David had sent one of his loyal men back and said, no, you go back. Maybe you can counteract the counsel of Ahithophel. And so he gave different advice. He basically told Absalom that he should gather all the army and wait, not pursue David immediately. And Ahithophel told him, man, you got to get across there and go find the king right now and kill him, get rid of him, because he's a warrior, he's a fighter. So 2 Samuel 17:14 says, and Absalom and the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, which is David's friend who'd gone back to counteract Ahithophel, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. And the end result of that story is that Ahithophel sees that his advice is not followed, goes and hangs himself, and the story's over. But David was delivered. Why? Because he prayed to the Lord. His prayer was specific to the situation. Lord, frustrate and confuse the wisdom of Ahithophel. And God did that. And God took care of the problem. There are moments that are going to rise up. We need to be ready in those moments. Oh God, deliver us from this issue, from this problem, from this need. Lord, help us here. But it has to be something that we instinctually turn to. And it's not the natural thing for most of us. This is not the thing that we're, you know, quickly, easily going to do. All right, so very quickly then, let's wrap this up. Back in Ephesians 6, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay? Our praying is to be praying in the Spirit. All right? I mean, we can pray and pray and pray. You know, you can just go on and on and on. You can rattle and ramble. But how much better is it to say five words in the power of the Holy Spirit than hours of your own mess? We need to be praying. But we need to be praying in the Spirit. Now, when we pray in the Spirit, we just need to understand that as a Christian, we are indwelled by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You can't even be saved if the Spirit of God is not in you. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not a saved person. You're not a Christian. But when you get saved, the Spirit comes to indwell you and He comes to work within you. And He has a particular ministry relating to prayer. So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures relating to the Holy Spirit and to prayer, and we will be done. So let me give you, first of all, Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. And in this passage, Paul says these words. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba is a term that's a very endearing term. It's a very intimate term. You know, it's a term you might have used with your dad when you were little. You crawled up in his lap and he said, what's wrong, hon? And you say, well, Daddy, it's like this. This happened today, you know. And Daddy is a very intimate expression for Father. Well, that's what we're given here. And you can call God, your Heavenly Father, Daddy. And I realize for some of us that's uncomfortable and that's a difficult thing. But it says we've been given the spirit of adoption. That is, God has brought us near by His choice. He has chosen us and He's adopted us into His family. And it's a sweet, precious truth. And so the Spirit is involved in us crying out. Well, let me give you a second scripture. Romans, also in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, the Spirit is involved in prayer. And when we pray without seeking the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're cutting off the very source of power in our prayer. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be operating within the realm, the sphere of the Holy Spirit. Everything we do, not just prayer. Everything we do should be within the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But prayer especially. And the Holy Spirit enters in, He says, when we don't even know what to pray for. I mean, we've all been in those places probably. We don't even know how to pray. And He says, in those moments, the Holy Spirit prays for you. He intercedes for you with things that we couldn't even put into human language. We couldn't even put into groans and sounds. Well, another scripture, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And I think you'll kind of detect where we're headed with this, but Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Folks, it's about a relationship. When you have, you know, growing up, I knew, boy, if I had a problem with my bicycle or my truck later on, I mean, I remember my dad, my clutch went out in my truck. And I remember my dad out there laying on the cold, frozen ground. Got pneumonia practically out of it, but he, you know, worked on my truck, put a clutch in my truck. I could turn to my dad in those moments, and he would help me, and he would do whatever he could for me because he loved me. Well, you know, this prayer is about relationship. It's not about religious activity. It's not about some formal thing. It's about a relationship. And He says, we've been adopted into this family. The Spirit has been given to us. And now we can cry, Abba, Father, Dad. And we need that. We need that every single day. Well, so praying always, with all prayer and supplication, and praying in the Spirit. Well, I want to encourage you this morning to consider your relationship with God for a moment. Because here's where prayer becomes real. You can pray a great prayer. You can pray this wonderful sounding prayer. And people all around you will say, oh, wow, what a prayer. Wasn't that great? But what does God say about your prayer? And you see, that's not determined by how many big words you use or how religious, you know, how many these and thous and almighties and all this stuff you throw in there. Or how many times you repeat God's name. You know, have you ever noticed people? Sheila, I just want to tell you, Sheila. And Sheila, you know, Sheila, and, you know, if I use her name constantly in a conversation with her, she kind of looks at me like, what's up with you? Well, we want to pray. We want to enter into the presence of God. And we want to do it out of the relationship. It flows out of the relationship. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And folks, that's when it becomes real. Not pretend, not fake, not put on, not impress somebody. That's when it gets real. And if your prayers aren't real, they're nothing. If they're not genuine from your heart, they're a waste of your breath. So I want to encourage you this morning to consider your relationship with God. And some of you are saved. You have been saved and you are saved. And so that's great. But you know what? Even when you're saved, you can be out of fellowship with God. Just like when I would, you know, sometimes come to my dad and need something, want something. But I might have forgotten that earlier in the week I'd you know, forgotten to do some of my chores, or I'd messed up something and didn't tell him about it. He found it, you know, and he wasn't happy with me. Now, I was still his son. He didn't kick me out of the family. But he wasn't happy. And so I go in there to make my request, and I immediately get the impression, Dad's not happy. And, you know, I'd be kind of just trying to get out of that situation. Well, sometimes we come to our Heavenly Father, and frankly, God's not happy with us because we're not where we ought to be. It's not because He don't like us. It's not because He's against us or wants to take away any fun or joy. He wants us to have the ultimate joy and the most fun and most pleasure in life. But if your heart's not where it needs to be today, your prayers are going to suffer. You're going to struggle. I want to invite you today to turn that focus to the Lord and say, God, I need You to help me with this. I need You to help me in my relationship with You. I need to be right with You. For some of us, it's just a matter of confessing some things to God and saying, God, I've been wrong. I've done things. I've said some things. And I've allowed some things in my heart that should not be there. I've had an attitude, got bitterness going on, or envy or anger or whatever it is. Well, you start with saying, God, forgive me. And you ask Him to restore the joy of your salvation and restore the fellowship so that when you come into His presence to pray, you know that it's real and it's touching His heart. But then it could be that there's somebody here today who's not even saved. And I know a lot of people around the world who don't know Jesus and they pray. What happens to those prayers? Well, Isaiah 59:2 says that God will not hear us because of our sin. And the one prayer that God is looking for from those who don't know Him is a prayer of repentance and of faith. And it's turning to Christ and saying, God, I need a Savior. I need someone to fix this mess that's me. Forgive me, Lord. Save me. Come into my life. Change me. And if you're willing to do that, God will save you today. It's not hard. It's not, you know, some complicated thing. It's as simple as humbling your heart and crying out to Him. But the difficulty in it is that you have to humble your heart. Sometimes that's not easy. Because I'm a very proud person. I don't like to let people know what's going on in my heart, my life. I want to be private. I don't want them in my business. Sometimes you got to open up your heart no matter who's in the room. You got to open up your heart and just say, God, I need You. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks of me. Don't care. I want You, Lord. So we're going to have an invitation this morning. And if you need Christ, if you need to be saved, then you need to open up your heart to Him and trust Him. And you can pray a prayer right there in your pew. Or you can come and I will lead you, help you with a prayer. But come. Let's do it. Let's get this thing settled. And then Christian, you can't live life as a plastic Christian. Pretend. Look good, but stink to high heaven. You need to get things right with God today. And if that's on your heart, if God put something on your mind, deal with it. And seriously deal with it. Don't just, I'll try to do better. Confess it to God and name it for what it is. It's sin. It's wrong. It's an offense against the holy God. It's what sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus died on the cross for that attitude. Jesus died on the cross for your addiction to pornography or your bitterness or your anger. Jesus suffered and died for you to set you free from that. Why would we allow ourselves to remain in that mess when He died to set us free? He died to save us from it. Receive that today. Receive it. Let's bow our heads. We're going to have a moment to just answer His call to us this morning. And if you need to be saved, cry out to Him. Tell Him from your heart. Confess your sin and tell Him your need and ask Him to save you. There's no certain prayer you pray, but you got to do this from your heart, with all your heart. Say, I'm not sure. Well, come. Come. I'll be glad to pray with you. Christian, you deal with whatever God's laid on your heart. You can come to this altar here. You can make an altar right where you are, but let's answer God's call today. Father, we thank You, Lord, as You are good, and Lord, You have invited us into Your presence. You've adopted us into Your family, and You've given us a precious, precious privilege of calling You our Father and even calling You Daddy. Abba. And this morning I pray that for every believer in this room, You would remind us of how precious that is, and You would call us back to Yourself, back to our relationship with You. And I pray that our praying, our prayers would be in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that You would come and fill us with Yourself, Lord, all that You are, so that You can use us and we can be instruments of Yours, Lord. Give us grace that right now, Lord, to humble ourselves, to confess sin, to seek Your face. And Lord, if there's even one today who doesn't know You, would You give them grace to say yes to You today and call on Your name, trust You.